720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio till 5 a.m. today, beginning of the new year 2016. And of course, if you've been listening, we've been talking about, and one of the recurring themes that people have been calling in and texting in at 312-981-7200 is their favorite movie hero, either of this year or of all time. We're also going to open it up to your favorite hero in life. You know, it's one thing to have heroes up on the big screen, but so much more impactful is when we have real life heroes, not only in our lives, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and on the line with us now. This is a great story, and this is a person that CNN had recognized as one of their top 10 CNN heroes for 2015, and we're blessed to have him here in Chicago with all he does. It is Dr. Dan Ivankovich. Welcome to WGN.
Guys are being morning maniacs today. Happy New Year.
Well, you know what? Somebody's got to do it, right? And we're excited to be able to do it, to be able to bring information, a little bit of fun, and then some great stories about things that are happening in the community. So first off, kudos to you and big respect for all the things, not only that you've accomplished, but just the motivation behind it. But let the listeners know, of course, you're the co-founder for your nonprofit, One Patient Global Health Initiative. And it takes kind of, especially as everybody is, you know, there's so many people are kind of jaded and cynical about either the medical community and certainly, you know, the challenges that are going on in our streets. But you're there doing your part.
Well, it's a very strange situation because, you know, I think maybe people look at me being all of about 7 feet tall, 300 pounds, and think, okay, how is this guy idealistic? And, you know, when I got into, you know, medical school and sort of had a chance to assess and really be around some amazing doctors, older generation dudes, you know, what I'm doing now is not that much of a departure from what doctors did in the good old days. I mean, it's great to have been, look, CNN is an amazing, you know, group of people. Their Heroes program is going on to 10 years strong now. And yeah, to be one of 90 people in the world that have been named to this honor over the past decade, it's amazing. But if you really think about it, doctors used to be heroes. You know, doctors used to be the number one most respected profession. And you're right, in your lead-in talking about, you know, how we do get jaded and that medicine has really sort of degenerated to the point where it's become all about the dollar. When you look at pharmaceutical companies, you look at hospitals, you look at insurance companies, the patients are never put first. And, you know, me and my little idealistic self said, you know, I got into this thing to make a difference in the world. And I do believe in my heart of hearts that that's why people go into medicine. It just happens that along the way, many people get lost. There's some incredible doctors out there that are doing amazing work. They're incredible people in the communities. Look, there's tons of heroes, moms, dads, that are raising their kids right, people in their communities and their churches that are trying to impact things. But I think health and being a doctor, it's just one of those things where you touch people on such a personal level. And doing what I do as a trauma and spine and reconstructive surgeon, I have the honor and the privilege to transform people's lives. So, you know, looking at Chicago, where there's over a million people that are living, you know, in a really marginalized condition, there's a tremendous ability to do good in our backyard. And unfortunately, it's a group of people that society has essentially ignored. So it's a, you know, it's an honor. And I'm so thankful that you're taking time out of your show and your day to talk about this, because it's an issue that that people need to understand. There's a whole subset of Americans that are right in front of their face that are really struggling right now to live their lives, to enjoy their potential, and just to, you know, to be healthy.
First off, I don't want to say like give me a break, but it's people like you that are doing, you know, for us to be able to shine a light on some positive things, I think is a huge It's an honor. It's a luxury, right, for us. There's so many things that happen in the news and a lot of things that we have to share, unfortunately, with this, you know, just in general and in the media that is just typically negative because it's what's going on. And so for you to be able to get into the medical field, you know, obviously, you know, and based on certainly what you said, you wanted to help people. And then to specifically focus it in an area where there are so many challenges in a number of different ways, whether it's the economic challenges, whether it's just the challenge of the environment or the demographics or just having less either attention and certainly less resources. So when you got into the kind of the situation of helping people, was it because people were coming to you that needed help that didn't necessarily have the means? Or were you saying, hey, I want to make a difference to people who really need that difference and you can really have more impact? Did you go out seeking them or did they just show up at your door?
No, well, what was crazy is, you know, I went to medical school at Northwestern, just a few blocks away from your studio. And it's a great institution, but unfortunately, you know, it's a Gold Coast hospital, caters to many of, you know, Chicago's elite, you know, people. Very little charity work is done there. Very little Medicaid is covered there. And, you know, what ends up happening in my time as a medical student, you know, we would be there very much in an observational capacity, very little time and very little chance that I had to actually touch patients, to engage patients. I was very much an observer. And, you know, what happened, I was like, oh, man, this sucks. This is stupid. I that's not the kind of doctor I want to be. And, you know, I had to wear a tie. I used to battle them all the time saying, why am I wearing a stupid tie and wearing a lab coat? I mean, there's germs everywhere, and they've since proven that, you know, doctors shouldn't wear a tie and shouldn't wear a jacket because it's not hygienic. But it was not a role, and it was not a position that made me feel as though I was being anything more than sort of a trained SEAL, you know, blowing the horns when they told me to. I mean, I wasn't helping people. And when I finally went to the VA, the old VA Lakeside that has since been torn down.
Wow.
I had an opportunity to do a rotation where, you know, very short staff sort of historically. And I was thrust into an environment where basically from 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. And then when I was on call, I was here responsible for these patients. And it was amazing. It was an incredible situation. I thought, wow, this is what medicine is all about. These guys really need me. And it led me to taking a residency spot over at Rush University. And during my internship, I requested, I said, look, I would like to do my entire internship at the old Cook County Hospital. You know, I was there. I saw it. It was literally, it was everything that the ER TV series was and more. I remember my program director saying, are you insane? I said, what do you mean? He goes, people come into my office to beg me to get the hell out of Cook County rotations and not have to be there. You're saying you want to be there for an entire year. I said, yeah, you know, put me in there. And I remember walking in on my first day and literally seeing this massive humanity that was there. You know, people that were waiting in lines that were a block long and thinking, well, who the hell is going to take care of all these people? And I'm like, idiot, it's you, Ivankovic. You're going to take care of these guys. And, you know, I mean, I was their last best hope because, you know, many of them were, were there by no choice of their own. They had to be there. And it was really within my power that even though they were poor and even though they were marginalized to actually reach out and touch a human being, to make a connection, to help them. And it was really my time at Cook County was probably some of the most profound of my life. And it really set the stage for me to understand that there, you know, growing up, look, I'm an immigrant. I grew up on the north side. I grew up in Uptown and Edgewater. And then I graduated from high school at Glenbrook South up in the North Burbs. I never had an idea until I played basketball. I was an all-state and all-American basketball player. And, you know, I got a chance to go into these communities, but I never understood how within our country there were two very distinct faces of the United States. And people living in poverty, it's very rough. It's a tough situation. And for healthcare, You know, people that are poor in our situation, essentially, you know, people of color and people who are poor, they live much less healthy lives. They live shorter lifespans. Yep. It's not, you know, but that's right here. That's in the United States. And I think people just need to, you know, understand I'm not some, you know, radical bleeding heart left winger. I mean, I'm a healer. I'm a doctor. I'm non-denominational with political affiliation. It's just, I'm about people. And it bothers me to get up every day to understand that, you know, in our city, our great city of Chicago, that there is such a widening sort of chasm of disparity.
Well, when you look at those roles that need to be played, or at least, you know, that there is a need for those roles, it's, you know, we're blessed that you're involved and you're doing some of those things. Letting the listeners know, we're talking with Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is the co-founder for the nonprofit One Patient Global Health. So we're going to talk about some of those areas where you have worked, wanted to have an impact, and they say, you know, it takes a village. You need people who are hardwired, and not everybody is, to get in there, not only have the desire to do it, but the tolerance for it, and also, of course, the talent. And in the areas that you're referring to, yes, there's challenges on the economic side and on the healthcare side, but specifically challenges related to violence that the people face there. And then, of course, the kind of the medical situations that kind of they don't make the front page. You know, you talk about some of the a lot of the deaths and the shootings and things like that, and when the smoke clears and the news crews have gone away, these people are the ones that have survived, fortunately, are dealing with some health issues, and you're helping them with that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Dr. Dan Ivankovich about everything that he is doing. He talked about his basketball career, right? This is a talented guy, not only on the medical side, but also on the sports side, apparently, and the music side. So stay tuned for that. It's Dane Neal in on 720 WGN. Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, beginning 2016. So the year is starting off. Hopefully, some of the statistics, some of the news stories and the narratives will change when it comes to the challenges and the violence in Chicago. But a guy who has been there to not only be a part of some of the healing, certainly, but also some of the medical care that is so lacking, is on the line with us now. He's one of CNN's heroes, one of the top 10s. He is Dr. Daniel Ivankovich. Welcome back to WGN.
This is cool. You know, I got to say, I've been in that in the Allstate studio, and it is one of the really one of the great, you know, views, and the just one of the coolest experiences to be on the air with WG. And I grew up with the frequency, and just, you know, sitting there on Michigan and watching all the all our fellow Chicagoans kind of looking in and kind of participating. It's a pretty great experience.
Yeah, it is second to absolute none. You know, growing up in the Chicagoland area, of course, right? It's the kind of the soundtrack of your life in so many different ways, and to be able to be a part of it here and share and be, you know, here in the studio, and of course share some of these great stories, it's as good as it gets, right? And it's kind of what I got into, what I do, to be able to do this. And when you talked about your motivations for getting in on the medicine side, to be able to make a difference, to help people, and certainly, you know, this isn't one of those places, let's say you're out in Des Moines, Iowa, and there's nothing to do. I mean, there is a lot for you to do. 600 surgeries per year, 100,000 people impacted by the program. And in some of the most, you know, it isn't one of those where you can just decide to like fly off somewhere and help people with the Peace Corps and administer, you know, malaria vaccines and all that is wonderful. Sometimes this is just, you know, out of the blue violence that is just so destructive, and you're there helping those people heal and move forward.
Well, you know, it's funny that, you know, for the better part of a decade, I was under radar. I mean, I couldn't, you know, no one was interested in what I was doing and the people that I was caring about. And I do go out of the country. I get called all the time for major disasters to be a first responder. And, you know, what was crazy is that, you know, we went to Haiti in the wake of the earthquake. And in 2010, you know, we went there and, you know, we helped thousands of patients. I think, you know, I and a couple of my colleagues, we discovered, you know, in the wake of this horrible disaster, almost 50 spinal cord injured patients with severe spinal injuries that we airlifted and we treated. And I made the front of the Chicago Tribune, the front page of that, and the Sun Times when I airlifted two of the patients back to Chicago for treatment. And, you know, it was a very humbling experience, but it actually pissed me off because I'm like, I got to go fly, you know, to another country and do the same stuff that I've been doing in my little city here for 10 years to get, you know, noticed. And, you know, everyone wanted to talk about Haiti. I'm like, look, that's a disaster. And, you know, I'm here for the people of Haiti, but damn it, you know, in Chicago, this crap is happening all the time. And you guys don't give a rat's ass about what's happening, you know, a mile away from you. And, so, you know, from that point on, it was, you know, really incredible that, you know, in that year I was named one of the Chicagoans of the Year by Chicago Magazine. And in that 5-year period since, I've been like on a one-man crusade to have people understand that just because Chicago is a top 10 city in the world and we are so widely regarded for our arts, for our music, our lousy sports teams, you know, that, you know, there's stuff really going on that is pressing and needs to be addressed. And I think that, you know, CNN has given me an incredible platform to bring this subject matter to the fold. I mean, they've done it in a very professional, very highly engaging and well-produced manner, and it's been a fantastic experience. But this is something that has given me sort of a platform now where I can continue to fight for Chicago and Chicagoans. Well, at the same time, look, I'll go anywhere in the world they need. You know, Japan, Fukushima, the Philippines. I was a first responder down after Katrina in New Orleans. Anywhere they need me, I will try to help, but my first priority will always be the city of Chicago.
Well, you mentioned that there is two cities, you know, that there's the city that's kind of at least, well, and both of them have gotten a certain amount, if not a lot, of publicity, right? Chicago is a great city, great food town, architecture, right? Depressing and disappointing sports teams, you know, all of those things. But, you know, more and more, at least in the last few years, the front pages, you know, and some of the news broadcasts around the country have focused on the challenges that Chicago has faced on the violence side. And I know that you are there doing what you can, and maybe you get publicity from going around the country. But also, too, as people see what it is that you're doing, and there are other people that may not have thought about it or may not have thought that was, it could be a rewarding way to utilize what it is for their career. But you got to understand that I'm sure you're inspiring so many people. So how often does it happen where somebody comes up because of some of these things that you've done that's garnered some attention, that they read it and people have come up over your career and said, this is maybe the reason they got into medicine. Maybe this is the reason that they took a turn towards trying to help people in some of these challenged areas with some of this violence. I mean, do you get that? And how rewarding is that if you do?
Well, I think it's really been unfolding because, unfortunately, people in my generation, people in their 40s, people in their 50s, I think they are already fully formed. They're not really gonna change their opinion. I think what has happened is what's been really incredible to me is though the whole social media experience, the whole opportunity there is. These stories now, people can actually reach out to me. I get from all over the country almost daily patients that are asking me for help, that are asking me for my input or asking for recommendations. I had a minister from Africa contact me last month, actually flew out here to have me look at his knee and treat him because in his country, nobody could. There was no insurance. He couldn't have it done. I had a woman with a spinal cord tumor in California calling me, and, you know, we're helping, you know, each of these cases sort of as needed. And in the same light, younger people that read about me or connect with me via Facebook or via Twitter, they are now getting to sort of see what I do. And maybe there are young Dan Ivankoviches that are thinking like, man, medicine sucks. What a horrible, who would want to be a doctor? It's horrible. You know, the fraud, the corruption, the abuse. And then they read these kind of stories. There's another top 10 CNN hero this year that I knew about prior, but now we've become friends. And he's doing really incredible work for the homeless, Dr. Jim Withers. And, you know, these kind of networks and associations and alliances, you know, you get people, you know, you think like, wow, I'm by myself. But then you find someone else who's thinking like you, and you find another person, and you build a network, and you build a collaborative opportunity to do work together. We're talking about a couple of projects here in Chicago that he's bringing his street medicine team. And, you know, young people watch this and they go, yeah, this is cool. Young medical students have reached out to me and, you know, they're like, I want to do what you do. And I said, well, all right, kid. I go, you want to do it, but this is not glamorous. This is, you know, doing this and being in the trenches and on the front lines. It's hard work. And, you know, do you have the stomach? Do you have the tenacity? I mean, it's almost like being in the military. I mean, everybody wants to be a Navy SEAL until they got to go through the rigors of what that is. And I think the social media has been phenomenal in sort of broadcasting our message and our mission and our vision. And a lot of people are connecting with it. I mean, you know, people that have been supporting the program, they can do that. I mean, we are not under radar. I mean, in my career, all this has sort of evolved to where I'm thinking, you know, I'm this lunatic that is the sole guy providing, you know, orthopedic and trauma care to Roseland, to Englewood, to, you know, to Lawndale, North Lawndale, to Austin, you know, for a decade. And then social media hits and I don't feel so alone anymore. I've got backup. I've got people that are now interested in, you know, I'm lecturing and I'm speaking all over, talking to folks that I may influence. I've been invited in March to be the MC and keynote speaker at the South by Southwest Music Conference. They now have added a weekend that is their med and tech weekend. And there's going to be, you know, 300,000 to 400,000 people there that will be able to reach out and touch me. So, you know, we can talk, we can collaborate. It's just incredible that, you know, there are a lot of people that think what's going on in the world is wrong and the disparity and inequality sucks. But now we can actually rally and do things about it and not just, you know, sit in our homes and be depressed that nothing's going on. We have tools and we have, you know, methods that we can use to really build sort of a legion of people that are committed to change. You know, for me, it's medicine. For someone else, it may be education. Other people, it may be, you know, infant mortality, birth. You know, it just, there are so many ways to do good. And the message that I would put out to anyone and any young person that wants to make a difference, anyone that is seeking to do good, is that, you know, look around you, open your eyes, and you will see an opportunity to help somebody. And that's really where it all starts. I think as a nation, we're very jaded in that way, that we don't look to help.
Well, you talk about the you know, some of the attention, having people come up and approach you and find out what it is that you do. When we get back from the news break, we're going to talk about specifically what you do on the medical front, as far as some of the procedures and certainly some of those people in those areas that are challenged and need it, how it works, and also what you do with the One Patient Global Health Initiative. And then you brought up South by Southwest, so we'll talk about what you're doing also on the entertainment side and the music side as well. So stay tuned, and of course we'll let everybody know we're talking with Dr. Dan Ivankovich. We'll be back with him in 1 second, but right now this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It is 4:32. Here's Roger Badish.
Everything green in here. Let's try it. I think we got it. Here we go.
WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio. 2016. It is January 2nd, coming up on 4:38 in the morning. A guy who is ready to mobilize at any moment is on the line with us now. He's one of the CNN's top 10 heroes, Dr. Daniel Ivankovich, and talking about the things that he does on a regular basis. And he wants to let him know that even though he travels the world for some of the kind of bigger name disasters that you may see, and I'm sure a lot of smaller ones too, that there are things happening on the violent side and on the personal disaster side happening, you know, in certain areas of our city on a regular basis. And what I wanted to ask you, doctor, is that, so you have people come from around the world to have you treat certain things that they can't get done where they are. So let's talk a little bit about some of the injuries. You mentioned spinal cord a couple times. You mentioned a little bit about the military type situations, and I'm sure you're dealing on the violent side with a lot of gunshot wounds. What are the kind of things that you're seeing and the ways that you're helping?
Well, you know, in my training, I was very fortunate. Northwestern Memorial Hospital was, I went to medical school at Northwestern, and my mentor for trauma and for spinal reconstruction, Dr. Paul Meyer, actually Colonel Dr. Paul Meyer, he opened the first spine trauma center in America after he served in the Vietnam War, and he saw, you know, how people in the field were being completely mismanaged. And in his mind, he said, we can do so much better. And he actually created a system for the triage, evaluation, and treatment of severe spinal cord injuries. And he formed the Midwest Regional Spinal Cord Injury Care System based out of Northwestern and the Rehab Institute of Chicago. So I had the opportunity to spend a year with him as his fellow, and we did hundreds of surgeries, took care of patients from all over the world. And it really, you know, one of the things that he took great pride in, I remember when I would be walking through the halls of the old Wesley Pavilion before they tore it down, where, you know, we'd be taking care of many of these kids that were shot, that were injured in the old Cabrini Green, and, you know, from around the city. And he would look at me and he said, you know, Dan, don't spare a dime on these kids. Take care of them. Do whatever you need to do. Just do it right. And they've got one shot, and it's you to get back together. And those words were very profound and resonated with me. And I still keep in touch with him. He's going strong in his 80s. And, you know, he... very, very important guy for me. And he showed me many things that I use on a day to day to take care of patients. But, you know, the difficulty with the gang violence, you know, I need to say that it's draining emotionally, because a big part of the thing that I do get angry with, I take care of many people who are just innocent victims. They didn't do this. It wasn't their fault. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I really have pulled back a lot, because I got tired of seeing the same idiots back and back and back again. You know, they don't learn. And this is like a joke, and it's a game to them. And I got to the point in my career where I was thinking, why am I wasting my time taking care of people who don't care about themselves? And, you know, the people in the community that are not seen, that don't have a voice, that struggle with issues like arthritic joints. I mean, orthopedic disability is the number one cause of disability in adults under 65 and over 65. Walk into any airport and count how many people are on crutches, are on a walker, are in a wheelchair, or in a, you know, rolling cart. It's astounding. And you go into these neighborhoods to find a guy like me willing to offer services. It's non-existent. So I have waiting lists of, you know, a year to see me for, you know, hip replacements, for knee replacements, for, spinal surgery, for, you know, any of these elective things. And we do a lot of that because we provide great value to these communities, because in many instances, when, you know, you have a horrible arthritic joint, I mean, you're incapable of living your life and navigating in your community. And you know, by treating them, we're keeping them active, we're keeping them in their community, we're saving. You know, the average nursing home, even if you're poor, I mean, they charge between $50,000 and $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And for every person that we can treat to keep in their community, it means, you know, tremendous savings to the community and just the dignity and the humanity of people being able to care for themselves. You can't even put a price tag on that.
Yeah.
That's really what we do.
It's so important. And although like the, you know, the area code can change, the address can change, the demographic can change, the situation can change, but medical care, I think universally is expensive. And that's one thing that you've done. And I want to get a little insight into the One Patient Global Health Initiative. It's for people that don't have insurance. I mean, that's been, you know, a front page for a number of years now. So how do you do it? I mean, you understand that these people need it. Everybody needs it, but you're trying to help those people who can't get it otherwise.
Well, you know, it's a very difficult issue because, you know, people think that with the Affordable Care Act, i.e. Obamacare, that the issue has been solved. Actually, for me, it's actually screwed up everything very, very significantly because, you know, we talk about uninsured and we talk about underinsured. I get quoted a lot as saying Medicaid is a four-letter word for the medical community because it's an insurance that many people have, but very few doctors accept. As a specialist and subspecialist that does what I do and cares for Medicaid, I have patients that, you know, drive past 20 hospitals to see me. I get, people from East St. Louis, from Rock Island, from Springfield, from Champaign, that have Medicaid in addition to my people from Chicago. There was a cover story in Crane Chicago Business they did during the affordable care debate. And it was just very entertaining because the average person that has made it to my office on average has been hung up on by 12 to 15 doctors in my specialty, in my profession. Wow. That the minute they say they have Medicaid, it's like click. And the problem is that, you know, even though Medicaid is quote unquote insurance, people have a card that says they have insurance, not everybody accepts it. In fact, very few. And where we got screwed was, prior to the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid was very straightforward. I mean, you took it, it reimbursed you somewhere between 18 and 20 cents on the dollar. So, you know, we would do surgery, the hospitalization on a major spine surgery. The bill would be, you know, $150,000. The hospital would get paid 20, and I would get paid, you know, $1,500 instead of, whatever the usual fee would be. And I said, look, I'm fine with that. I've accepted that. But now with the Affordable Care Act, my reimbursements for Medicaid have been cut anywhere from 20 to 50%. And I think, wow. You know, it's not like they're creating more money. What they're doing is creating more people that are in this sandbox trying to play. And the insurance companies are skimming off their 10 to 20. They're not providing more care. So it's made things very, very challenging. And we've had to look at other resources. You know, one of the big projects we're going to be undertaking in Chicago over the next couple of years is to develop a freestanding facility that focuses on diabetes, that focuses on obesity, and focuses on orthopedic disorders. And the point is, if you can sort of get where I'm going, is that I'm not reacting to the problem. I'm trying to get ahead of the problem,
right,
and actually prevent it. Many of the orthopedic issues are due to obesity, which is a epidemic in our cities, especially among the poor. Physical education is being cut in schools. Kids are obese at rates that are at record levels. I think adults can't get physical therapy. They can't get conditioning. And so, you know, they continue to go down this sort of slippery slope where they become less and less functional due to weight, due to diabetes, due to health issues. And we're going to try and reach out more to the private sector for much of the funding and building the facility because, you know, the crazy thing, you know, if you really think about it, is that Chicago is bankrupt, Cook County is bankrupt, and the state of Illinois is the worst state in America in terms of financial insolvency. So
yes.
It's very, very hard to do what we do. I mean, I'm committed to doing it, but it's we're going to need to reach out and partner with people that dig where my vision is going and what we are trying to do at One Patient, and say that, you know what, this guy Ivankovic is out of his mind, but he's doing great work. And he's got a vision for how to do this, how to do it in a very efficient way, to do it in a fiscally responsible way, and to actually deliver the work instead of, you know, doing craziness. I mean, there's so many programs in these communities getting millions of dollars that do nothing for the communities, but take that money and put it in their friends' pockets. And welcome to Chicago and corruption. I mean, I don't dwell on that too much and focus on the negative, but we literally are in the most corrupt state and city in America. We're like a laughing stock for how we mismanage these funds, and how, and a trickle down, the patients are injured and harmed because of it. So, you know, it's a major objective, and, you know, a lot of people are watching from the outside, seeing, you know, how this plays out.
Yep. And we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna find out how people can support, participate, get involved, and make a difference with the One Patient Global Health Initiative and Dr. Dan Ivankovic. Because, you know, part of that whole, you know, getting some of the attention, and part of some of the high profile things that you've done, is you are able to inspire not only, and you mentioned it, some of the younger people getting into the medical community to follow in your footsteps and see value in what it is that you do, but also, like you said, private sector people are gonna be inspired to be able to help out. They're out there, and now you do have truly that platform to do it, to do that, and then also to entertain. We're going to talk about the music when we come back as well. It is Dr. Dan Ivankovic. He is on with us on WGN. It is 720 WGN.
When times are hard, baby, and I ain't got no job, please don't leave me.
Nice. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, in on a Saturday morning, one of the first Saturday mornings, what's the first one, really, of 2016 in January, a year that is going to have some great things happen, and we know that some of those great things are going to be perpetrated. They're going to be done by the one and only Dr. Dan Ivankovic. He is on the line with us now. Doctor, before we get into the music, I want to talk about the music that you just came off stage a little bit earlier this evening. But let's give out the information and the website and how people can get a hold of all of everything that's going on at One Patient Global Health Initiative.
Well, yeah, I mean, the easiest way is just go to OnePatient, OnePatient.org. And you can reach us through there. We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can donate directly through the website. We just had really an incredible campaign. Part of the awareness of the CNN heroes was they also did a major fundraiser on behalf of all 10 of the heroes. And that translates into, you know, real meaningful, you know, impactful revenue. You know, we had people, you know, from all over the world donating $5, $10, $20, $50. You know, we have a PayPal link on our website, but we had several people that donated $5, $10,000 to the cause. And,
wow.
And Subaru, who, incredible, they matched dollar for dollar all the donations. So, you know, for us, we're going to be able to do much more in terms of, you know, promoting the vision and cause due to, you know, help. If people, you don't need to be a doctor, just being able to reach out and, you know, instead of, you know, buying that extra pack of cigarettes, you know, $10, $15, $20, it makes a huge difference. And you can do that right through our website.
Oh, that's excellent. And the website again, one more time.
OnePatient, OnePatient.org.
OnePatient.org. Now, you wonder when you'll have time for anything else but doing some of the things that you've done on the medical side. 600 surgeries per year, 100,000 people benefited from the program. And you have so many fans because of CNN and, of course, all the work that you've done around the world, so many fans for everything that you do on the medical side. But you also, you know, it does not define you, just the medical side, even though it's maybe what you're more known for. But you're also out there and you've got fans on the music side, too. So let's talk about it. You were just where were you at? House of Blues? Where were you? You were playing a concert tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that's really incredible is that, you know, Chicago really is, it is the premier, it is the destination for Chicago blues music. And since I've been a kid, I have been completely, you know, absorbed in this. I had a chance to really to play and to meet and to be mentored by many legendary, iconic, you know, blues musicians that literally I could reach out and touch them. I mean, they were stars. They were celebrities. They sold millions of records, but you know, many of them were literally listed in the phone book. I mean, as a kid growing up, you know, I met Muddy Waters at the old Chicago Fest on the Navy Pier stage before they renovated and made it a big tourist, you know, attraction. But you know, I got to meet Muddy. You know, he lived in Westmont. He lived in a very humble home in Westmont. I mean, you could go over there and visit him. And as a kid, one of the real crazy intersections between medicine and music for me, I worked, you know, both. I went to the undergrad Northwestern campus in downtown. A gentleman who recently passed was the director of the animal laboratories. And I remember, you know, one night cranking Freddie King in one of the labs, and he walked in. He goes, who's playing Freddie King? And I'm like, that would be me. And he said, he goes, you like blues? I go, damn right I like blues. I mean, I'm a veteran of the old Maxwell Street and everything. And he goes, well, if you love blues, he goes, do you play? I go, yeah, I'm a guitar player. He goes, I want you to come to my club. I'm like, old man, shut up. You do not own a blues club. And he goes, I want you to come to the South Side on 43rd Street. I am one of the owners of the Checkerboard Lounge. And I'm like, nice. Get out of here, dude. You are not. He wanted me to come on a Monday. And I said, I'll come on that Monday because I want to go to the Checkerboard, but you're not going to be there. And you're just, you know, talking some smack, and I don't believe a damn thing you're telling me. And sure enough, I show up on a Monday, and I walk in the door, and there were like six people in the club. But sitting at the bar, Buddy Guy, who I didn't know but was his partner in the Checkerboard Lounge, Buddy Guy, Junior Wells, Magic Slim, Lefty Diz, Johnny Dollar, and my partner in my band, the Chicago Blues All-Stars, Mr. Killer Ray Allison. And these guys were sitting there, and who's behind the bar pouring them all cognac? Mr. L.C. Thurman, who was also the director of the animal labs at Northwestern. And it was really a completely, you know, I didn't realize then, but when I tell the story to people, they're like, get out of here, dude. And I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, I had the opportunity to be mentored and to just be friends and drinking buddies with some of the most influential blues musicians ever. And as you look back, they were very, very critical for me because, you know, this is what gave me sort of the credibility, being a basketball player, being a musician. It actually gave me a reason to be in these communities of Chicago. I didn't look at them as the jungle back then. I just looked at, this is where I go to play basketball. It's where I go to play music. And I've always been very accepted by those communities in which, you know, I participated because I was one of them. I became part of the problem to become part of the solution. And I'm very proud of, you know, the CNN accolade, but, you know, my band, the Chicago Blues All-Stars, this past year was inducted into the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And, you know, and we've been friends for 30 years. And, you know, I'm just kind of the baby, you know, in the band. The band has collectively, you know, played on over 300, you know, recordings. I mean, really incredible people who I call my friends. And, you know, it's been a really great journey. And, you know, we play, you know, I don't get to play on all the shows, but the band plays anywhere from 6 to 8 times a month. And they rotate primarily at, you know, the larger, you know, blues venues like Buddy Guy's Legends, the Kingston Mines, and, you know, House of Blues has been really, really good to us as well. And it's just amazing because for Chicago, what has happened in this last decade now, in those venues, at any given night when we play, 80% of the people that are there to see the music are from out of town or out of the country. So Chicago is really a destination. People come here, you know, blues is a reason why the tourists come here. They come here to see blues, and it's a joy and it's a pleasure to be able to sort of be a disciple that is keeping this music going. And it's a very rich history. I mean, Chicago, if you look back, you know, for the past century, it's just been an amazing intersection where African Americans came from Arkansas, from the Mississippi Delta, brought their fantastic culture and music here. And then Muddy Waters got this brilliant idea to plug a guitar into an amplifier. And he literally, with that one gesture, changed the course of musical history.
Wow. Well, I mean, Dr. Dan Ivankovich, he is with the Chicago Blues All-Stars. He is sharing some of the greatest things that Chicago is known for with its blues music, and then also helping to deal with some of the challenges that Chicago is also known for with the One Patient Global Health Initiative. Before we let you go, and it's going to be a second because we're late for news, but Dr. Dan, how can people get a hold of all the stuff as far as the music and follow you with the Chicago Blues All-Stars?
You know, it's crazy. We have actually, you know, I've got, I think, about 60,000 Twitter followers and about, you know, 10 or 15,000 people following me on Facebook. The Chicago Blues All-Stars, I think we've got over 120,000 Twitter followers. And on Facebook, we're up about 60 or 70,000. So blues music is certainly important. You can catch us at ChicagoBluesAllStars.com. And my handle on stage is Chicago Slim. You can catch me at chicagoslim.com, and it's amazing stuff, and you know, can't wait to see you at a show and look for us in town. It's always a blast to have people come up and let us know that they're fans of the music.
Honor to have you on WGN. Honor to have you on the show. An honor to have you as one of our great Chicagoans, kind of holding that torch for all things that are good about people in general. And congratulations on the CNN honor and Happy New Year, man.
Oh, thank you. You know, to everyone, to you, to the staff, to the listeners. Truly, it's a infinite hope at the beginning of the year. I am wishing nothing but health, happiness, and love to everybody in this 2016. Thank you for all your positives and peace and love.
Back at you. And of course, thank you, Dr. Dan Ivankovich. And this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is 5 a.m. Here's Roger Badish.